Absolutely pleased to announce to have Derek Havens, featured columnist for PatsFans.com, and also part of the Dream Pats 4th and 2 podcast, joining me here in the season of sports to discuss, obviously, the breaking news of Tom Brady and some other NFL news. Welcome, Derek. Welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Azmi, for having me on. It's a pleasure to be on, and wish I was here under better circumstances, but we know the big fish to fry, so let's get into it.
Hey, seriously, I mean, I think our worlds were shook this morning with the news of Tom Brady announcing that he will be leaving the New England Patriots. And I thought, who better to talk to than someone who's living right in that area, in the Boston area, and can give us the proper reaction to this news. Give me your raw initial reaction to the news.
Well, it broke earlier this morning, obviously, and like many suspected, it was going to be over social media, Instagram, especially with Brady's, such strong social media presence now. It just seemed like that was the route it was going to take. It was seemingly moving more and more likely that Brady was not going to return. In fact, I was speaking with one of my co-hosts from my podcast, as you mentioned, the Patriots 4th and 2 podcast, with I do with Russ Goldman and Steve Balsgeri. We were discussing yesterday, Steve and I offline, about Brady probably moving on. And I felt like there was a chance he was coming back, but all the news and all the events leading up to it, it just really seemed like it was going to happen, that Brady was going to move on. It was time for a bunch of different reasons, for him personally and for professionally and for the team as well. But it's crazy. Even if you, as a Patriots fan, had talked yourself into, there's a chance he's leaving, when you see the news actually break and you read it, it doesn't really register quite yet. You almost feel a little numb, and it's still shocking. Even if you expected him to leave, seeing all the reports come out that he's gone was still just like, wow, this is surreal.
I mean, I guess, I was talking through it on all the different scenarios on my podcast the last few episodes as this free agency period was looming. And I gave all the reasons as to why he would leave and, the weapons and all this kind of stuff. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But I lived in denial. I always thought, no, he's just never going to leave. Tom Brady is a Patriot. I grew up watching the NFL. I got into the NFL. I got into being a Patriots fan because of Tom Brady. I couldn't imagine him in a different uniform. And here we are. Here we are. This is now the reality. He's going to be playing for a different team. What do you think was the key breakdown in this relationship?
I think if you're looking at it from Bill Belichick's perspective, and you are talking about someone who has just orchestrated one of the greatest dynasties at all time, and in an ideal world, Brady comes back and everything, works out, right? But I think if you look at strictly from a business standpoint, this was probably the right move to make in Belichick's eyes. The Patriots have the oldest team in the league based on average age of all the players. They have a ton of holes to fill, both on offense and defense. They don't have a ton of draft capital. They are kind of up against it in terms of cap space. So to bring back a 43-year-old quarterback, when Belichick has traditionally gotten rid of older players a year too early versus a year too late, I think it was a real personal kind of tug at him. He wasn't really sure what to do. Do I think Brady and Belichick had a great relationship? I think it was a very good one. I'm sure they fought like an old married couple. I can totally see that. They worked together for a long time, 2 decades. But I think part of Belichick, knows that Tom, deserved to do what he wants to do. But I think the other thing is he's looking at it like the best thing to do for the franchise is probably to move in a different direction. And I think for Brady was looking for – I think Brady would have liked to stay if things were different. But the fact of the matter is, the Patriots do have a lot of holes to fill, and there are some issues, with other parts of the roster right now. And maybe he was just looking to kind of, just turn the page. And I think he wanted to dictate when he was going to walk away from the game. That's why I think he was insistent on kind of that appreciation word we've been hearing a lot, and maybe a multi-year contract. It seems like he's going to sign with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but even if it's a different team, I can almost guarantee it's going to be a 2 or 3 year contract. And, that will be Brady kind of controlling his own narrative when he wants to play until he wants to play. And that was something that, for whatever reason, Belichick just did not want to give him. Now, you can make that argument that they should have, but that's where I think the rub is ultimately.
Well, that's the part where it's crazy, right? Because this morning it hit me. One of your friends, Miguel, he breaks down that the Patriots cap space, religiously. And I saw a tweet from him this morning, and I replied to it. I didn't see that the cap space available. I just didn't see Tom Brady fitting unless he was going to play for free, which we know he wasn't. I was like, there's no room. 3 hours later, the announcement came. So it hit me this morning. Like, it was over. It was just, that's when it hit me for some reason. Like I said, I kept living in denial. I thought the stability of the Patriots, him knowing Josh McDaniels, Bill Belichick, the Kraft family, everybody would just always outweigh everything. And the romantic in me always believed that he would end up finishing his career as a Patriot. And the thing that baffles my mind is, Derek, is if this happened 2 years ago, when Jimmy Garoppolo was around, and we know that Bill Belichick wanted that to happen and he was overruled, I understood. I mean, it would have been heartbreaking, but I understood. But are we going to go into a complete rebuild here now? Bill Belichick isn't getting any younger. I mean, this is not a coach for rebuild. And if you're going to be competitive, I don't see a quarterback out there with any economic sense that's going to be able to make you competitive. Where this leaves the Patriots in absolute no man's land, in my opinion. How do you see this?
Well, honestly, it's pretty fascinating just seeing where this storyline is going to go. I it's hard to do, but let's just try to take Brady and move it to the side for now, right? If you're just looking at this roster, yeah, it's fascinating. You know, what direction do the Patriots go? If it was me personally, Asmir, I would tear everything down. You know, I would sell off your veteran players for assets. I would try to get as much draft capital as you can. I probably would ride with Stidham and see what you got. Or maybe if the right quarterback falls to you, you look into the rookie class for this year. And, you know, again, if it was me, I would be kind of taking a year back and trying to reload the roster with a bunch of young players and then maybe, you know, tank and grab a good quarterback high next year. But that's just not Bill Belichick style. That's not the reality of what's going to happen. Like, I guarantee you. And whether that's just not who he is, or maybe it has a little bit of something, I don't know if it has enough to do with ego, but I mean, there's got to be at least a part of Bill that says, you know what, I need to show, and I want to show, that I can win without Tom Brady. Maybe not win a Super Bowl, but there's no way that he doesn't go into the year thinking, well, whoever I have under center, I want to put the best team around him I can, and I want to show that I can still make the playoffs and maybe make a run without Tom. And I'm sure Tom in some way wants to do the same thing with the new team and show that he can do it without Bill. I've always believed that. Although I never really thought it would get to this point, and I never wanted it to get to this point, but that's really just not how life works sometimes, right? So I would say that what I do believe is going to happen is, look, they already made some moves like re-signing Matthew Slater, re-signing Devin McCourty. Those are both guys who are both very good at what they do, and they're also strong locker room and team culture guys. I think that's important, especially when you lose someone like Brady right now, who's been the face of the franchise for 20 years. And now I think that they're going to look at, okay, we've lost a couple pieces in the front seven on defense. Let's replace them. They've lost two linebackers yesterday, obviously. And let's put some weapons around a quarterback and let's go. But you know what? To your point earlier, Asmir, about the cap space situation, I mean, it does make a lot of sense for them to go with a cheaper option. And, I'm not sure what they're going to do, but I'm actually really excited to see what they plan on doing. You know, I know that's a hard thing to say if you're a Patriots fan and you're upset that Brady left, but I mean, it will be interesting to see how Bill kind of starts to, turn the page and build this team from scratch again.
I mean, I always try to look at things in a positive way, and being a Pats fan through and through, you hope for everything to work out and for it to happen for the right reasons. And I look at it and I'm thinking, what can he do? Because I'm generally and genuinely worried about it. I don't see what the future is. If they tear it down, I'd be the happiest man, because it's going to happen sooner rather than later. It's going to have to happen. They're going to have to tear this thing down and then get rid of the likes of Julian Edelman and all the big guys. You know, some of the other rebuilding teams are doing in the league. But yeah, I just don't see which way forward it is. You know, I think the worst position for them to be in is that no man's land, whereas you're not really a Super Bowl contender, which they've been for the last 20 years, and you're not really rebuilding, and you don't see a future. You're just sort of in the middle and you don't see it. Because don't get me wrong, Buffalo, you know, that Stephon Diggs trade last night made them a real team if they weren't already. Miami's going to be better. The Jets are the Jets. So I think the division's gotten stronger too. So I'm with you. I'm fascinated to see which way this is going to turn. And I believe in Bill, and yeah, I really don't know which way it's going to work out. I mean, do you think Robert Kraft could have done more to keep Tom Brady?
I think that there's so many different reports out there, Asmir. I don't really know, honestly. You know, I'd like to have a more definitive answer for you. It seems like, you know, part of me feels like I felt like Robert Kraft was going to step in at the 11th hour and make something happen. And then there were reports saying that he was going to stay out of it and leave it all to Bill. And then what happened supposedly last night was Brady and Robert Kraft met up and talked last night, and Brady told him that this is what he wants to do. At least that's what we're hearing now. There's always going to be details. It's a fluid situation. I honestly don't know if the Patriots and Bill Belichick and the Patriots kind of lowballed him or didn't give him the deal he was looking for. So he said, okay, you know what, I want to go. Or maybe Tom just really wanted to go and move on and felt like this was the right time. I don't know what the answer to that is, but I do know that, you know, Robert and Brady got together, and it seemed like Mr. Kraft kind of kept his word in terms of what he said at the beginning of the offseason, saying anyone who's put in this much time with the organization should be able to get what he wants to do. And I think that he did step back for that reason, because there is so much love between Robert Kraft and Tom Brady. It must have been one of those decisions where he almost took the businessman out of it for a second and just treated him like he was a close friend or family member, a son, as he, you know, has always referred to him as. I just feel like it was probably a really tough thing for Mr. Kraft to do, and I'm sure it was tough for Brady. And but again, I just think, you know, I wouldn't put this on Robert Kraft. I think this decision goes on two people. It's Belichick and Brady. And I think that there's reasons, there's probably quote unquote blame for both sides. But again, I mean, I don't think you know really who to blame as a Patriots fan. Sometimes the timing just doesn't work out. You know, honestly, Asmir, I would say if you go back to a couple years ago where, you know, you have Jimmy Garoppolo and maybe Brady comes back. He comes back after the Roger Goodell 4-game suspension, after like Deflategate, and they come back 28-3 against the Falcons. And you know, maybe that then you move on. Maybe Brady moves on. Then he retires. He walks away from the game. Or if Brady had walked away 2 years ago, but he wasn't ready. He wanted to keep playing, and it just kept getting to a point where I think the team could only go so far without the wheels kind of falling off. And I think that's the situation they were put in now. They were pushed. They wanted to keep him for as long as time. And I as a fan wanted him to stay, but there's a point, kind of a breaking point here. And I think that's what, unfortunately, how the cards were stacked against them this season.
Give me, before we get into where you see Tom Brady next, give me a couple more pieces that might be on the move. We mentioned the tight cap space for the Patriots, and them having to fill a lot more holes than assets they have. Do you see likes of Julian Edelman also being dealt and moving on?
Well, it's fascinating, right? You know, so if Tom Brady goes to a place like the Buccaneers, for example, they already have two really good receivers, and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. You know, is part of the deal with the what part of the pitch with the Buccaneers? Do they say we will also go after Antonio Brown as long as he's reinstated? You know, or if that's not the case, maybe the Patriots would trade Julian Edelman to wherever Brady wants to go if they were willing to give up a good enough asset for him. Maybe they move on from Edelman. I don't necessarily see that happening, but it's a possibility, I suppose. Joe Tooney, who was probably the best offensive lineman, certainly the most consistent this past season, franchise tagged yesterday as a guard, would be paid upwards of $14.5 million this season. No, he is probably a high candidate to be traded. I think another team with that needs an interior lineman could give up a mid-round pick, and maybe you move Tooney and you get some kind of an asset for him. I don't know if it would be incredibly high, because obviously whoever's going to trade for them also has to work out a contract. But I think that's a potential move, that they could look into. I also would look into the situation with Marcus Cannon on the right tackle. I think that has gone kind of that's kind of gone under the table a little bit here, because everyone's so focused on the Brady situation. But I don't think it's a guarantee Marcus Cannon is back with the team next year. They could save, I think, close to $6 million with Marcus Cannon moving on, and whether that's retires, traded, released, I would look into that potentially as an option. At least those options on the offensive side of the ball. Defense, you could look into maybe some Hightower or Gilmore restructures, but I'm not really sure there's too many more moves to make on the defensive side of the ball. They simply just couldn't pay the guys that they were going to hit the market, like Jamie Collins, like Kyle Van Noy. Those guys got the money we pretty much expected them to, and that's just how it's going to go. But certainly a new collective bargaining agreement that was agreed to will give the Patriots a little more cap flexibility in how they structure their deals moving forward.
Absolutely, it's going to be. I mean, it's going to be a fascinating few days. I mean, it's only been last 48 hours have absolutely spun my
Yeah,
head,
definitely. Absolutely.
spun my head around. It's been crazy. Landing spot for Tom Brady. It's been reported that the two teams he's most likely to go to is the LA Chargers or Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Do you see a favorite in that? It's probably a little bit stronger rumors on Tampa Bay. Where do you see him
I
ending
do
up?
see him ending up in Tampa Bay. It just seems like everyone's pointing to that camp. And I didn't really think it was possible, but the more I kind of think about it, you could sell me on both, right? I have heard rumors for that Giselle does not really enjoy Los Angeles and that she wanted to be closer to the Miami area. So that would make sense to me. Also, even if they wanted to be in New York, which they both seem to enjoy living in New York, it's a much shorter, ride, 2 hours from Florida to New York. So, there's something there as well. With Bruce Arians, I think he's someone who's worked with a tremendous amount of extremely talented quarterbacks. He probably will give Brady the full control of the offense. There are some good weapons there. They are willing to spend money. With the Chargers, it's interesting because they have this new stadium and they're going to want to put asses in seats. They're going to want to sell some tickets. So, would they be willing to pay Brady a significant amount to try to draw a crowd there? I could see that he is opening up a production studio in Hollywood, supposedly. That came out a couple of weeks ago, so that would make sense there as well. And they also have some talented weapons. The Chargers certainly have a decent team around them too. So I'll be curious which one, he ends up with. But it just seems like everybody's pointing to the Buccaneers right now.
Yeah, I see it this way. I think the Chargers are probably a more done team. I think he fits in there, and you have your weapons: Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Austin Ekeler, Melvin Gordon, all those sort of guys. Whereas I think Tampa, if he goes there, I think there's promises of a couple moves, and I wouldn't be surprised if someone like Julian Edelman or Antonio Brown or somebody like that is also in the works, because I don't see them quite the finished article just yet. So that's just my 2 cents. On the situation. But yeah, it's interesting to see. I mean, he's never not going to be wearing Patriots colors, that's for sure. Touching on a couple of stories in the last couple of days. I mean, what caught your eye? Is it the DeAndre Hopkins trade to the Arizona Cardinals from the Houston Texans? Is it Cam Newton being basically told to get out of Carolina? Jason Witten signing for the Las Vegas Raiders? What's kind of stood out to you? Because for me, the one move is the DeAndre Hopkins. I thought the Cardinals stole him from the
Oh,
Texans.
unbelievable trade, right? I mean, you talk about the Bills doing a great job securing Diggs. They gave up some decent capital for Diggs, but they have the ability to do that, and I thought that was a good move for Buffalo. But the DeAndre Hopkins trade is really the kind of trade that you're just like, wow. I think if you're looking, a couple of the players you mentioned, you know, Jason Witten and Philip Rivers and Tom Brady all played for teams for over 15 years. And now they're all going to be moving on, playing elsewhere. It's going to be weird seeing Tom Brady in a different uniform. Even Jason Witten, you just picture him in a Cowboys uniform. He's going to be wearing a Raiders uniform. And, you know, what's the fallout of Philip Rivers landing in Indianapolis? Does that make someone like Jacoby Brissett expendable? And if that's the case, would the Patriots look at bringing Brissett in as maybe like a bridge quarterback?
Yeah.
I think that's certainly on the table. It wouldn't. I think that you're looking at a relatively manageable cap number. You could probably get him for a middle round pick, which you have several of. And then that way you could have a little competition between him and Jarrett Stidham. And maybe you look for another guy over the next year or two as you're kind of, you know, reloading your roster. Sorry, I couldn't picture for the words. But I think those are certainly some options.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's been absolutely fascinating. I mean, there's still other free agents out there. Like I said, where's Cam Newton going to end up? I mean, Andy Dalton is expendable. There's all sorts of people out there. I think that's an interesting one. Teddy Bridgewater ending up in Carolina. I mean, I was listening to Matt Rhule, and obviously, you know, half of this stuff could be BS, as you know. But two weeks ago, I'm listening to Matt Rhule talk to Peter King. Yeah, you know, love Cam. Can't wait to see if he's going to be healthy in our quarterback. And, you know, 10 days later, he's basically one report. Oh, they've, you know, told him to find a trade partner. And then there's like a statement on the website. Thank you for everything, Cam. So that could be one, because if he's healthy, I think he's still got a little bit in the tank. But where does he end up? That's incredibly. I mean, what a question to ask, right?
Yeah, certainly. You know, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Cam. I really loved Cam coming out of Auburn. I thought that his potential and the way the NFL was moving, you know, he's just the way he's built and put together. I mean, he really has that kind of superhero figure, and he's extremely talented. Obviously, there have been character concerns in the past, and over the past couple of years, there have been some injury concerns with him. And so when you're talking about having to trade for someone, also pay him on top of that, about $20 million, I think he's on the books for now. I think that somebody like the Chicago Bears makes a lot of sense for Cam Newton. I could see something like that happening, you know, but I don't see that happening for a team like the Patriots, for example.
Yeah, absolutely. Give me maybe a couple of or under the radar move. I mean, we've talked about all these big money moves so far. Give me a little bit, one of the maybe more under the radar moves so far that you like in the NFL.
Well, Jordan Phillips, who was a defensive lineman for the Bills, I was really thinking the Patriots were going to maybe target him. He was a reserve lineman for Buffalo, and he had 9.5 sacks this last season. And I was looking, you know, with so many AFC East teams kind of poaching off each other, like many divisions in the NFL, you're looking at a 27-year-old guy who had a ton of pressure up the middle. I thought the Patriots could add some beef along with Lawrence Guy on the defensive line. He ends up going to the Cardinals for 3 years, $30 million. Pretty high price tag, as most free agency in the first 48 hours will go. But I would say that was kind of an under-the-radar move that I was hoping the Patriots would make. I thought the Cardinals made a good move. I'll tell you, the Cardinals, you know, getting out of the David Johnson contract, and so I think it looks like they're going to try to work something out with Kenyon Drake, which seems to be a great system fit. Now you get DeAndre Hopkins. If they can focus to the defense, Kyler Murray in his second year with Cliff Kingsbury, I think the Cardinals are a fascinating team to watch as they're kind of going through everything right now. Some under the radar moves for the Patriots. I'll be fascinated to see what happens with Joe Tooney. I think the Patriots are still going to be involved in acquiring a wide receiver or tight end via trade over the next several days. Reportedly, they were in on DeAndre Hopkins and Stephon Diggs. To what extent, I'm not sure, but I would almost guarantee there will be some kind of trade with the Patriots at one of those positions before the NFL draft. I do think that they're going to still look to, you know, business is not going to stop because Tom Brady's you know, not here anymore. They're going to try to keep building around it, around whoever they have at quarterback. And they and the reality is they need to totally overhaul the tight end position. There's not a lot of depth in the free agency class or the draft class at tight end. So you're going to have to kind of put a premium on that. And receiver-wise, you have some interesting things to figure out. What's the status of Julian Edelman? N'Keal Harry showed some promise, but we're looking forward to seeing what he can do in his second year. Mohamed Sanu had some production and then got hurt. We'll see how he looks. But the team could even move on from him and save $6.5 million technically. But it just depends on what direction they want to go. I still think they have a lot of overhauling on offense to do, and they will be adding some youth and speed to the front seven.
Well, it's going to be absolutely fascinating to see. I think one of the things to keep an eye on, especially in the Brady thing going to Tampa, I think he's going to look at that division as a division I think he can get out of. Carolina, new coach, not quite sure what they have. I think you have the Falcons who, again, are not as formidable as they once were. And I think the same with the Saints. You know, I think he's going to look at that division. Whereas if you go with the Chargers, you have to play Pat Mahomes twice. You have to go to Denver. Play them, never easy, and also the Las Vegas Raiders. So I think maybe that's going to play a role in his decision. I also think the Ravens, I mean, they're stacked now. I mean, they stole, as well, another one of those moves. They stole Campbell, Calais Campbell from the Jacksonville Jaguars.
For freaking fifth round pick. Unbelievable. I was like, that was a great move.
What the hell? Yeah, I was thinking, how does that happen, you know? So they're going to be stacked. But yeah, we'll see what happens. I also wouldn't be surprised if someone like Todd Gurley is going to be in trade talks. I know the Rams might want to move off him. So it's going to be fascinating to see him. Well, you're the man for giving me your time and joining me here on my pod, The Season of Sports. It's been long overdue. So can't thank you enough for your time. And yeah, so tell me where people can find you on Twitter at Patriots Haven. And also you're obviously your B writer for PatsFans.com, Pat's 4th and 2 podcast. Tell me, is anywhere else people can find you and listen to you and read your stuff?
Yeah, that's pretty much it, Asmir. I really appreciate you having me on. Yeah, nice. I'm very active on Twitter at Patriots Haven, Haven. That's all kind of no spaces or anything like that. Yeah, Patriots 4th and 2 is the podcast that I do with Steve Ballesteri and Russ Goldman that we've had you on there before, and we've been doing that for 7 years now. We usually do a show once a week, once every other week, depending on the time of year. Steve and I, for sure, and I believe Russ as well, will be doing a new show probably towards the end of this week. But yeah, you know, honestly, Asmir, I've been a fan of football since as long as I can remember, and I love the in-season stuff and the off-season stuff, you know, almost equally for many different reasons. I love the free agency news. I think it's fun and entertaining. And with all the sadness right now in the world and all the concern, I think it's at least giving people a little bit of an escape of reality, a little bit of a bright spot to kind of help calm the masses down, obviously with some serious world pandemic issues, as you know, we don't have to go into, but I'm happy to have you be able to talk about this with you anytime. And, you know, I'll certainly be willing to come back on, whenever you'll have me. So.
Well, that's the thing. I follow you on Twitter, and obviously I love your work and Russ and Steve. And I know you're the one who's very much into these transactions. So I was thinking, who can I get to talk free agency with me? Now I thought you were the guy, because I'm with you. I think it's a great distraction in the world right now. I'm chucking these episodes like candy at the moment, just to keep me busy and occupied while I'm in lockdown. So no, it was a blast, honestly. We could talk here for another hour at least, but no, that was a blast. Thanks a lot. No, I appreciate you coming on, and hope to speak to you again.
Yeah, sounds great. And again, we'll have to link up soon, and we can discuss the aftermath when all the free agency moves kind of fall into place. But, you know, definitely stay safe, and we'll talk soon.